You're with Cape Talk.
Professor Amanda Gous, who is a professor of political science and the research chair of gender politics, and has a PhD from the University of Illinois in the United States. Her field of specialization is politics and gender politics and political behavior. And there was an article that actually drew my attention this morning, and because it makes a very important point that violence, as you say, Professor, is not visited upon women by unknown forces like the plague. The agents are actually men with toxic masculinities. Professor, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Good afternoon.
I was sort of very intrigued by this particular article and the comparison with Lord of the Flies. And your article emphasizes the fact that today is a celebration of a women's march with a clear focus on women's rights. How do you feel that has changed over the years?
Well, you know, I think we've got very little to celebrate at this point because of the very serious feminization of poverty in South Africa combined with very high levels of sexual violence. Women in 1956, they were fighting for women's rights and to pass laws into the, dehumanizing conditions of apartheid. But what we see now is that, we see very little activism. And even when there's activism by women like 2017's hashtag Total Shutdown, we don't get really the type of results that we want in terms of dealing with sexual violence.
Your article discusses the fact that the terrifying recent brutal gang rape of 8 women in West Village close to Krugersdorp is a stark reminder of the fact that gender violence is actually out of control.
It is. And I mean, in this case, it just, emphasizes the fact that women are safe nowhere, not in our homes, not in the post office, not shooting a music video, not in our cars. So I think this is the problem, is that rape in South Africa is systemic and it's become normalized. And it's so normalized that the Minister of Police can say, well, one woman was lucky because she was only raped by one man. So, this is apparently what happens to women and we should just sort of accept it. So the issue then becomes also here, the focus has shifted so quickly from the very violent gang rape of these women to illegal mining, because, illegal miners were accused of raping women. And this, again, then put the spotlight on illegal mining and on illegal foreigners. And there we see that, that type of discourse ignited xenophobic violence and vigilante justice again. But South African men also rape. The statistics for 2019-2020 were 42,000 something. So this is the problem of this type of violence that becomes so normalized.
Mm. You also explain in the article that the focus should actually shift to a more holistic view and strategy.
Yes, we need a long-term strategy, and that is actually encompassed by the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence that looks, it has six pillars of which, care, protection, research, women's economic empowerment, and so on are part of that plan. But that's a long-term plan. It has to be rolled out, and we're not sure, it's been accepted in 2018, how it's being rolled out, I think the citizens of South Africa is not quite sure. But what do we do in the short term? And this acceptance of chemical castration of perpetrators by the ANC at their recent policy conference, I think, is a misplaced solution, because chemical castration does not reduce levels of rape. It's been shown in countries where it's used. Because that focus on sexual desire, and we're not talking about sexual desire here. Rape is about power and the entitlement to women's bodies. Even when somebody is impotent because of chemical castration, they can still violate women with bottles and sticks and things like, and objects. So, and it also, shows that unless chemical castration is coupled with psychotherapy, it doesn't deal with the violent impulses of somebody who rapes. So I just don't think this is the solution that we need for this very systemic problem that we have.
Chatting this afternoon to Professor Amanda Host at the University of Stellenbosch, Professor of Political Science and Research Chair of Gender Politics. Professor, you know, I look at today and I look at everybody standing on the stage, including the president standing on the stage and the president saying that, oh no, women should be paid for the work that they do at home. And, you know, we've shortened gender-based violence to GBV. So it is just one of those really crazy things that because we've shortened it, it loses that essence that it actually should have. Now, I am the dad of four daughters, and it is a scary proposition for me sometimes the way that we are moving. How should we be moving forward? What do we need to do in order to turn this tide?
Well, you know, first of all, I think, like I said in the piece I've written, is that we should stop talking about the scourge of violence. Violence is not visited upon us like a plague. The agents of violence are men. And so we need to look at how, you know, boys are socialized, how masculinities are constructed. And this needs to happen from a small age. You know, we're not really dealing with the socialization of children. And the men are absent in boys' lives. If we look at the norm in South Africa, is the single-parent, woman-headed household with children. And so we need to get men involved with their children. But we need to also make children, through socialization, children understand the difference between just satisfying sexual needs versus intimacy and what it means to be in a relationship. There's far too much going on in terms of, you know, men just feeling entitled to women's bodies. And then we have this very violent rapes that occur. So it's on the level of socialization. It's on the level of the construction of masculinity and how to deal with toxic masculinity. And I'm not saying all men have toxic masculinity, but there is, if we look at the levels of violence and femicide in South Africa, there are many men who have toxic masculinity, and we're not coming to grips with that. So it also needs a concerted effort on the part of government and the political will to implement, for example, the National Strategic Plan. But I mean, that's sort of a longer term plan. And what we need right now is, in terms of just the legal processes, the backlog of DNA analysis in laboratories, it's 2 years long, 2 years behind. And in some cases, rape survivors wait for up to 10 years to get justice. That's not okay. You know, we need justice, and we need justice to be seen to be done.
Professor Amanda Host of the University of Stellenbosch, Professor of Political Science and Research Chair of Gender Politics, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.